been in the wilderness now for 39 plus years, and they're getting ready to enter back into the promised land. And the Lord, in these couple chapters, is going to remind them of the offerings that must be observed. Numbers 28, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my offering and my bread, for my sacrifice is made by fire, for a sweet savor unto me, shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. Now what the Lord is doing is he's reminding these folks to start serving his offerings again. He says, these are my offerings. This is my bread. These are my sacrifices. This is a sweet savor unto me. Again, those offerings picture the person of Jesus Christ. All the sweet savor offerings represent the Lord's life before God, my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, you wonder, why is he doing this again? He told them all of this back in Leviticus chapter 23. The Lord sometimes has to repeat things. But sadly, if you were to turn into the minor prophet book of Amos, chapter 5, Hosea, Joel, Amos, it's the third minor prophet after Daniel. He asks a question in the book of Amos. The Lord asks a question of the people that later on Stephen will answer in Acts chapter 7. But the question is asked in such a manner, it's an obvious rhetorical question being asked here. The Lord is upbraiding the people in the book of Amos for all the work that they've been doing, these phony feasts that they've had. He says in verse 21, I hate. The Lord says, Amos 5:21, I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Back here in Numbers, he said, these are my offerings, my bread, my sacrifices are a sweet savor. Your feasts, he says here, I despise and hate, I won't smell. They're not a sweet savor to me. And he goes on and upbraids them for a while. Verse 25, he asks a question. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, a house of Israel? Later on, when Stephen is preaching to them in the book of Acts chapter 7, and Stephen is recording the history of the nation Israel, and he says in verse 7:42, they made a calf, and then God turned and gave them up to the worship of the host of heaven, as it's written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? What had happened is a lot of those people didn't do offerings in that 40-year period. This is a new generation. Do you remember that? The old generation died off. And they had already begun to cease offering to the Lord. It's kind of like a second-generation Christian. Okay? The parents, let's say, had gone to church regularly. But as soon as the kids get away, they cease going to church. They stop going anymore. They only did it on their parents' coattails. And now the Lord's asking this question of them. So he's got this new generation and he wants to straighten them out. So he's taking them in Numbers chapter 28 and he's reminding them, first off, if you do make an offering, it has to be to me. It's not just for the sake of religion. And you're supposed to make these offerings. And you're going to see as we go through these chapters. Here we go. Watch verse 3 through 8. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. Two lambs of the first year without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And a tenth part of an ephah of flour for a meat offering, mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil. A hin's about a gallon, so a fourth of that would be about a quart. And it is a continual burnt offering, which was ordained in Mount Sinai for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And the drink offering shall be the fourth part of an hin for one lamb. In the holy place shalt thou cause the strong wine to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering. And the other lamb shalt thou offer at even, as the meat offering of the morning, and as the drink offering thereof, thou shalt offer it a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Every day, God says, I want a continual burnt offering. You start with the lamb in the morning, you do the drink offering, you do the meat offering. In the even, you do the lamb, you do the drink offering, the meat offering. The night passes, you start in the morning again, a continual offering of a lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, the continual offering that God accepts. Now, if you're paying attention, maybe verse 7 would confuse you a little bit, because he says at the end of the verse, in the holy place thou shalt cause the strong wine to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering. Well, if you're a modern American, that would mean fermented alcohol, would it not? Would that not? Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So you'd almost think, well, wine and strong drink, then strong wine would mean he's asking for fermented liquor to be poured before him. And if you only read that verse, I would think that too. But if you've read through the whole Bible and you understand you're not to bring fermented liquor into the house of God, what he means by this is, go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And when we're there, let me catch up with you. Verse 21. Now, he's upbraiding them there at that point because they'd become a little too religious and they had become unfaithful to God. And in verse 21, he says, how is the faithful city become an harlot? And he's talking about the faithful city of Jerusalem. And it's kind of become the picture of the harlot of religion. And God didn't so much want religion out of them. He wanted a relationship through those rituals, thinking of the Messiah. It was full of judgment. That's what the city used to be. Righteousness lodged in it. That's what it used to be. But now it's a harlot. Now murderers are there. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Instead of taking the fresh grape and squeezing it, and it was the strong, full grape juice, they watered it down. And so what he wanted before him was, you're taking this expensive, rich, yeah, it's expensive, it takes a lot of grapes to make, say, I can sell those grapes. They make a lot on the market, the open market. Lord says, no, you squeeze them out to me and you make that strong, fresh, new wine right onto me. And they had gotten to the point, well, we'll give a few grapes and a little bit of water and that's it, and the rest we can sell on the open market. And they had turned more to interest in money and covetousness rather than giving something worthwhile to God. That's the strong wine he's talking about. He's not talking about fermented alcohol. He's talking about unwatered down sacrifices in their fullness. Go back to where we were in Numbers chapter 28. The Lord would never allow fermented beverages in his house. That's called the wine of the condemned. Thou shalt not bring the wine of the condemned into the house of thy God. Verses 9 and 10. Now he's going to begin giving them these offerings. Verses 3 through 8 were daily offerings. 9 and 10 will be the weekly offering. And on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and 2/10 deals of flour for meat offering mingled with oil, and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering every Sabbath, besides the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. He's saying, I want a double portion on the Sabbath, twice as much. So you have the one where every day you're doing morning and evening, morning and evening, morning and evening. And then on the Sabbath, you're doing two in the morning and two in the evening. You're doubling down. You're doing more. It'd almost be like the Sabbath at church. You'd probably, ordinarily, you do your one reading of the Bible in the morning, and that's what we do at home. Now you come to church on a Sunday morning, and what do we have? We have two services. We have the Sunday school, and we have the Sunday service. We double down. You get twice as much Bible on a Sunday morning as you get, let's say, on a Thursday night. We double down on that Sabbath. Well, and I know it's not the Sabbath. The Sabbath hasn't changed. But let's say it's our spiritual Sabbath of a Sunday. And that's when we get together on the Lord's Day and we double down and we get twice as much. And so the Lord says, I want a double portion. That's weekly. Now verses 11 through 15, he says monthly. And in the beginning of your months, you shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord, two young bullocks, one ram, seven lambs of the first year without spot. And 3/10 deal flour for the meat offering mingled with oil for one bullock, and 2/10 deal of flour for a meat offering mingled with oil for one ram, and several tenth, that means 1/10 each, of flour mingled with oil for a meat offering unto one lamb. So he's asking for seven lambs, so each lamb will get, you know, it's 1/10, making a total of 7/10 altogether, for the burnt offering of a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And their drink offering shall be half a hin of wine for the bullock, and a third part of a hin unto a ram, and a fourth part of a hin unto a lamb. This is the burnt offering of every month throughout the months of the year. And one kid of the goats for a sin offering unto the Lord shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offerings. And he says, and then monthly, at the new moon, at the beginning of months, we're going to have an additional offering that's brought forth every single month. The Jewish people lived by the lunar calendar, and the new moon was the beginning of months for them. And every time that new moon came, they had additional sacrifices and offerings made unto the Lord. I don't know what the contemporary equal of that would be, maybe at the beginning of the month you do a little extra Bible reading, I don't know. But the Jewish people were given much to do in terms of these sacrifices. And then after the monthly sacrifices, now he's going to give over this and the next chapter particular yearly feast sacrifices that were commemorated unto God. And here comes verse 16. And in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And in the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. So he's mentioning for us that we've got the Passover beginning on Abib the 14th. The first month was Abib or Nisan the 14th. And then the very next day began the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this is what you're supposed to do in that time. Verse 18. In the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no manner of servile work therein. The first day of Unleavened Bread was an high Sabbath. Remember when we did our studies when Jesus was crucified, and it explains to us that the next day was a Sabbath in all the Gospels except for John, and he explains it was on high Sabbath because he was crucified on Passover, and the very next day was on high Sabbath, here it is, where they could do no work. Because I always used to ask myself, why wouldn't the ladies come and anoint the body the next day? And you say, well, it couldn't because it was a Sabbath. So if you think like a Roman Catholic, you're thinking, okay, then if he was crucified on a Friday, okay, he couldn't do it on a Saturday. But then you learn, wait a second, but Passover is the day before unleavened bread, and it was a high Sabbath. And I was then taught, well, the Lord died on a Wednesday. And I'm thinking, okay, so they couldn't come on the Thursday, and they couldn't come on the Saturday, but they could have come on the Friday. Why didn't they come then? And the reason is because he wasn't crucified on a Wednesday. He was crucified on a Thursday. And being crucified on a Thursday, the next day, Friday, is on high Sabbath. They can't come. The next day, Saturday, is a regular Sabbath. They're not allowed to come. Sunday, they show up with everything. And so we've done those studies before, and they're on videotape if you want to go through them. And plus, they line up with the Passover back in Exodus chapter 12. And so we see this next day is this high Sabbath verse 18, a holy convocation, ye shall do no manner of servile work therein. But, you can't work, but ye shall offer a sacrifice made by fire for a burnt offering unto the Lord. What is it to be? Two young bullocks and one ram and seven lambs of the first year, they shall be unto you without blemish, and their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil. 3/10 shall ye offer for a bullock, 2/10 deals for a ram, and several tenth deal shalt thou offer for every lamb throughout the seven lambs, and one goat for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. Ye shall offer these beside the burnt offering in the morning, which is for a continual burnt offering. After this manner ye shall offer daily, throughout the 7 days, the meat of the sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. It shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering, and on the 7th day, this is the 7th day of this week of unleavened bread, ye shall have an holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work. This would be the 21st day of Abib, and that's another day where there's no work. So that was a very high feast unto the nation of Israel. And he's reminding this new generation, I expect you to keep these feasts unto me. Now these are all types of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preparing them to get ready. Passover was probably the highest event in their calendar. Maybe tied with tabernacles. I think they enjoyed tabernacles because they got to go make booths and to live in them. And so it was a lot of fun. But this was a high, high holy mark every year as the people watched it and they prepared all those lambs over and over and over. A lot of blood flowed. A lot of blood flowed. The wages of sin is death. And so the Lord was showing the people that sin is abounding, and so the blood abounds to pay for the sin. The blood of the bulls and the goats that sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh couldn't purify the conscience, but it let them know that as a people they were set apart unto God. The blood flowed for all those centuries until finally the spotless blood of the Lamb of God flowed that covers our sins. But that's eternal blood. That's eternal blood. And so that blood flows through the timeline of eternity. And it sanctifies, it tells us all things, whether they be in heaven, in the earth, under the earth, all things are going to be sanctified by that blood. And the Lord's reminding us that that cost for our sin is high. And the cost for this nation was high. And I think the one thing that will separate God's people from other folks is the acknowledgement that they are sinners. The acknowledgement that they're sinners. We talk to other people when we're out there from other religions. There's not a lot of acknowledgement that they're sinners. As you begin to talk to religious people, there's a lot of talk about, oh, the rituals, or maybe the rules and the regulations, or the philosophical meanderings of their religion, and all these things, but there's very little recognition of the acknowledgement that they're sinners. If anything, they're just got a little bit of pride. They just feel a little bit good about themselves. They just feel a little, you know, they polish up that, doing pretty good, you know, I mean, I'm keeping up with this thing. And God's religion, the true religion, the pure and undefiled religion, the one that tells us to keep unspotted from the world, reminds us in all its writings over and over and over of the high price that God paid for the low condition that we were in as sinners, and reminds us of that. And that's why, like Perry F. Rockwood used to preach, all good people save one. All good people go to hell. All good people go to hell. And if you could ask them down there, they tell you, we don't deserve to be here. We're basically good. We don't know what went wrong. And in heaven, there's no good people. Because having read this over and over, begin to realize, I don't deserve to be here. I'm not good. I mean, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind, I do not deserve salvation and or heaven. I'm a sinner. And this is what he's trying to show this generation. Let the blood flow. Let the blood flow. physically. Today, how about spiritually? Are you recognizing at the times when we go in and we get our several tenth deal of our meat offering, which is the Bible, are we recognizing that every tenth deal that we partake of, it costs the Lamb something? We're to see the Lamb in this book. We're to taste and see that the Lord is good in this book. These are holy convocations. Ye shall do no servile work. God did all the work for salvation. You rest in that salvation. You rejoice in that salvation. You read about that salvation. You tell others about that salvation, but you don't do any of the work. What a blessing. It's God's work. So, the verses 16 through 25, that was the yearly feast of the Passover and unleavened bread celebrated in the first month. Verses 26 through 31, he says also, in the day of the first fruits, when ye bring a new meat offering unto the Lord, after your weeks be out, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work, but ye shall offer the burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord. Two young bullocks, one ram, seven lambs of the first year, and their meat offering, a flour mingled with oil. Three tenth deals unto one bullock, two tenth deals unto one ram, several tenth deal unto one lamb throughout the seven lambs, and one kid of the goats to make an atonement for you. Ye shall offer them beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering. They shall be unto you without blemish, and their drink offerings. And then he mentions in verses 26 through 31 another feast. This is a feast that would occur, he says, verse 26, in the middle of the verse, after your weeks be out. He had explained to them back in the book of Leviticus, they would count 7 weeks after the Passover. This is the feast of Pentecost. Interesting, he doesn't name it. He doesn't name this feast. It's a curious event. This is in the third month. And Pentecost, as you go through your scriptures, you will find that the Jews were to celebrate Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles. And as time went on, they elevated Tabernacles and Passover, and they kind of glossed over Pentecost. If there was a feast that would be skipped by the people, it would be Pentecost. They kind of looked at it as kind of a lesser feast. They kind of missed on it. It's curious because in the typology, the Passover is the work of the Lord at the first coming. And the Tabernacles is the work of the Lord at the second coming. And Pentecost, and I'm talking about in relationship to the nation Israel, and Pentecost is the church. And it's kind of the one that's like a mystery to them. It kind of passes over them and even leaves the name out for them right here. Because we recognize it, and Pentecost is ours. Pentecost is when the church was birthed publicly, when the Holy Ghost came down like cloven tongues of fire, and the people preached, and the gospel went out into all languages, and finally salvation in Christ Jesus was preached. Pentecost is ours. Now, move to chapter 29, and he's going to continue the offerings here, and now he'll give 1, 2, 3 feasts that will occur in the seventh month. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you. And ye shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord. One bullock, one young bullock, one ram, seven lambs of the first year without blemish, and their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil. Three tenths deal for the bullock, and two tenths deal for a lamb, and one tenth deal for a lamb throughout the seven lambs, and one kid of the goats for sin offering to make an atonement for you beside the burnt offering of the month, and his meat offering, and the daily burnt offering, and his meat offering, and their drink offerings, according unto their manner, for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. This is a special day. Remember, they had to do the daily offering. And now along comes a new moon, and they have to double up. And now comes the blowing of trumpets on the first day of the seventh month, and they triple up on this day. And this is the day of the blowing of the trumpets. This is the Feast of Trumpets that begins the seventh month. Now what's happening here, the Lord separated this chapter about the seventh month from the chapter of the first feasts, which were, again, Passover and Pentecost, because he's showing you the first and second coming are separated. They're separate events. So in the first chapter, chapter 28, all those were dealt with by the Lord at his first coming. In the first coming, he was the Lamb of God, which took away the sin of the world. At the first coming, he fulfilled the Passover. At the first coming, he gave forth the unleavened bread to the people in the New Testament through the Greek scrolls that were given everyone. At the first coming, he gave the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And now, it's a new chapter because this, all these feasts are going to point toward the second coming. What's going to happen? Well, one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. And we're going to go up. Amen. And then left behind, when you read the book of Revelation, there are seven trumpets that will be blown from heaven. And the Jews are going to hear these on earth. These are the trumpets that the Jews are going to start to hear as the day of the Lord is revealed to the Jews down here on planet earth. Verse 7. And then what happens? And ye shall have on the 10th day of this month, the seventh month, and holy convocation, and ye shall afflict your souls. Ye shall not do any work therein, but ye shall offer a burnt offering to the Lord for a sweet savor, one young bullock, one ram, seven lambs of the first year. They shall be unto you without blemish, and their meat offering shall be a flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deal to a bullock, 2/10 deal to one ram, several tenth deal for one lamb throughout the seven lambs, one kid of the goats for sin offering, beside the sin offering of atonement, and the continual burnt offering, and the meat offerings, and their drink offerings. And this is Yom Kippur. This is the 10th day of the seventh month. This is the day that the Jews celebrated all throughout the centuries. This is the one day when the high priest was allowed to take off all his holy garments. He had to put on linen. Instead of going in like a high priest, he went in as a simple person, a sinner before the Lord, and he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, and the Lord gave mercy to the nation for another year. And this is the picture of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, that one day, in the midst of the tribulation, the eyes of the Jews will be opened. And then it says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. They don't have that now. If you talk to a Jew now, his eyes are blinded. He doesn't have the spirit of grace. But in that day, after the trumpets blow, sometime moving along in that seven-year period, the Lord is going to have a day of atonement for the nation, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son. For him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And in that day, there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem. And that's the day the fountain shall be opened unto the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And that will be the day of atonement for the nation when the nation is born again. And right now, God looks at that nation over there, and you and I call it Israel, but God calls them Jacob. Because they're still supplanters, and they're still schemers, and they're still having a religion of form and giving lip service to God without the knowledge thereof. And they go to the wailing wall, and they don't do like they're supposed to do. And they don't cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know what vain prayers, that vain repetitions they're making as they stand in the streets, bowing at that wailing wall. But on that day of atonement, when grace comes upon them, they will see the Messiah for who he is. And in that day, all Israel shall be saved. And that's what's the picture that he's given to you right here. And then the final feast in verses 12 through 38. And this was an annual feast for the people as they offered unto the Lord on the 15th day of the seventh month. ye shall have an holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work, and ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. Ye shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, this is going to be a tremendous amount of sacrifice. 13 young bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year, they shall be without blemish, and their meat offerings shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3/10 unto every bullock of the 13 bullocks, 2/10 to each ram of the 2 rams, several tenth deal to each lamb of the 14 lambs, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering and his meat offering and his drink offering. That's just day number one. And on the second day, you shall offer 12 young bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot, and their meat offerings and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, for the lambs shall be according to the number after their manner, and 1 kid of the goats for sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering and the meat offering thereof and their drink offerings. And on the third day, 11 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, and their meat offerings and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, for the lambs shall be according to their number after their manner, and 1 goat for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering and his drink offering. And on the fourth day, 10 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, and their meat offering and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manner, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering beside continual burnt offering, his meat offering and his drink offering. And on the fifth day, 9 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot, and their meat offering, drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, for the lambs shall be according to their number after their manner, and 1 goat for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering and his drink offering. And on the sixth day, 8 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, and their meat offering and drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, for the lambs shall be according to their number after their manner, and 1 goat for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering, drink offering. And on the seventh day, 7 bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, and their meat offerings, drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, for the lambs shall be according to their number after their manner, and 1 kid. Goat for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering and his drink offering. And on the eighth day, you shall have a solemn assembly. There shall be no servile work therein, but ye shall offer a burnt offering and a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. 1 bullock, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, their meat offering, drink offerings for the bullock, for the ram, for the lamb shall be according to their number after the manner, and 1 goat for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering and his drink offering. These things ye shall do unto the Lord in your set feasts, beside your vows and your freewill offerings, for your burnt offerings and for your meat offerings and for your drink offerings and for your peace offerings. And Moses told the children of Israel according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. Again, the blood flows. But this was an exciting time for the people. They dwelt in booths. They remembered how God brought them out of Egypt with a strong arm and how he took them through the wilderness and provided for them. And they made these offerings with joy, and the kings would make offerings to the people and bring forth the goats and the lambs and the bulls, and people would bring their own. And it was a great feast time at Tabernacles. Jesus preached at Tabernacles in the 7th chapter of John, and they would come on the last day of the feast and they'd pour out the water on that 8th day, and the water would spread all the way across the temple up to the people's ankles. And Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That happened on the 8th day, because on the 8th day is the solemn assembly. It's the picture of the new birth. And the Tabernacles pictures for us that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, Ezekiel 40 through 48, the feasts will be started again. The priests of Zadok will be bringing forth these righteous sacrifices, all to be done in remembrance, just as you and I right now, this day, in the day of grace, we have the Lord's table and we break the bread and we drink the cup to do this in remembrance of Him. The Jews will now have an opportunity after the second coming to set up that temple. Jesus will set it up and they'll do these offerings, and you can read about it in Ezekiel 40 through 48, and they'll do this over and over to remember the salvation work of Jesus Christ. In other words, they're in summer school. They got it wrong the first time. They failed the first time. And God's going to give them a chance to make it up when summer comes, the millennium, as an opportunity to do it in remembrance. Now, something I thought that was interesting was, as I was looking in here, and I remember the Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, the Lord tabernacled with us. The Lord gave us, if you will, back there on the Feast of in the last chapter, Pentecost, He gave us some unleavened bread. But there was a portrait here on the third day, verse 20. On the third day, 11 bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year without blemish. And you remember the Lord said in the book of Ezekiel that the third time the sword would be doubled. And the third time, if you look at that carefully, on the third day, there's 11 bullocks, the large cattle, and then of the smaller one, which a lamb and a ram is a grown-up lamb, there's 2 and 14, that's 16. And the combination of that 11 plus that 16 is 27 books. And that would be on the 17th day of Tishrei when that offering would be made. It would be 1611 would be the 17th century when the Lord on the third time would give us that. It's just a curious, interesting play on numbers that I observed on there. It's kind of deep, and if you don't get it, that's all right. It's just something I noticed in there. The 17th century, the 17th day of Tishrei, there would be the 11 bullocks and the 14 of the lamb, rams, however you call them. And did I do that right? 16. 2 plus 14 is 16. 16, 11, total of 27, like there's 27 books in our Bible of the 17th century. And that was kind of the third time when that sword was doubled. That's when He gave it to us. I thought that was interesting. Yes, brother, what do you have? Brother, you had a comment?
Pardon?
You had a comment?
No, I was just saying
amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right. So all these feasts, though, if you look over them carefully, I mean, these were feasts to the Lord. Although the blood was flowing, God did not want them mourning. He wanted them to acknowledge the fact they were sin, but also rejoice at the fact that God had delivered them from their sin. These are feasts unto the Lord. And so that balance, and it's the joy of the Holy Ghost. We come in here and we remember that we're sinners. And we have a sense of conviction. And yet at the same time, that conviction, the Holy Spirit doesn't bring sorrow with it, a godly sorrow maybe, but He doesn't bring guilt or shame with it. He turns that conviction, when it's rightly received, into the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And this becomes our feast time. We don't come in here and get all beat up and go out of here sorrowful. We come in here and the Lord does this magnificent work on us, and we remember the blood, and we think of that, and we remind Him we're sinners, but what a great Savior, and what a great God, and we come out of here feeling better.
Amen.
Than when we came in. Now, that's done in balance. And I was reading a report by a preacher by the name of Robert Schuller. He's a very liberal preacher. He built a very, very, very large work. He now has a huge place called the Crystal Cathedral or something like that. It's a huge thing. I think it's called the Tower of Power or the Hour of something. I don't know what it is. But it's a huge, massive work, and everybody goes there, and I listen to this stuff, and you really can't hear the gospel message there, but you hear a lot of good patting on the head, and people go out of there feeling good when they leave too. But there's no word of God and there's no work of the Holy Ghost. It's more psychology. And he was admitting in this one article that he had learned a long time ago by someone named Norman Vincent Peale, who's another liberal, that the way to build a church is to remove all the negative portions from the Bible and only preach the good stuff. And that brings a false peace. That brings something that's very shallow and temporal and ephemeral. It passes away. That kind of mirth leads to heaviness. But what the Lord does is He reminds us of the blood of Christ at these feasts. And we're brought down in our service, but then we're lifted back up on the arm of the Lord as He lifts us up and then reminds us, and He sends us off with the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. He took our place down here. He took our place at the cross. And now He's lifted up and given us a place up there. We're seated in the heavenlies with Him. And these were to be feasts. And Moses told the children of Israel, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, that when you go in, these are set feasts. These are vows. These are burnt offerings. They're meat offerings. They're drink offerings. And they end, verse 39, in a peace offering. It brings peace. Grace and mercy bring peace. So those were the two chapters there where the Lord, if you were to title it, it's the Law of the Offerings, Numbers 28 and 29, the Law of the Offerings. And again, the Lord has to remind us over and over and over. Repetition is the mother of learning for us. Remember, we're like sheep. We go astray. You have to remember our offerings, our free will offerings, and the greatest offering of all, the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for reminding us that we are sinners and the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. And if we'll bow the knee, He'll lift us up and give us joy. I pray, Lord, that You would send us out having heard the word of the Lord. Send us out, Lord, with the joy of the Lord, that we may tell others we have a great Savior. And these feasts are available to all who will come freely, willingly, on bended knee. Thank You for the salvation in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.